Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I sit here and I wonder, like, I see people online kind of reacting to the fact that the Browns did nothing, thinking that they might have done something, reacting to the fact that Andrew Berry said that they were going to be buyers at the deadline. And I just kind of sit back and I'm like, guys, this was the expectation. Like, I don't know if we thought that we were going to be the Jets or be the teams that were buying from the Jets, but I was under the impression for the majority of the day, other than the sliver of hope that I had, that maybe, just maybe, after you traded Sauce Gardner, I don't know, maybe you wanted to deal Garrett Wilson. Like, maybe there was a slight chance out there that you wanted to go make a move like that. Other than that, my expectation today was that the Browns did very little. Right? They've been basically telling you that they're going to do very little. And I think it all goes back to the idea that everyone was reading into the fact Andrew Berry said that, you know, they're going to be buyers at the deadline. I think everybody wanted to run with that is, oh, well, the Browns are going to add pieces here. They're going to trade away draft capital. I think most of what Andrew Berry was trying to tell you was that this team's not going to be sellers, right? It was much more of, you know, we're not really looking to move off of a ton of pieces than we're actually looking to add a ton of pieces. I mean, you look at the guys that got traded today. Sure, are there a couple of guys that, with those names, could have helped the Browns out? Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, you can go to names like Jacoby Myers and Rashid Shaheed. Are they better wide receivers than the Browns have on the roster? Well, it's not hard to argue. Are they actually guys that you want to target, who you're going to pay long-term, who are going to help this team in a dramatic way? Also, no. So the Browns felt like they were constantly destined to be in this spot of, sure, if there's a veteran or somebody on a short contract that we get an offer for that makes sense for us to move off of, we'll move off that deal. If there's somebody that we can pick up on the very cheap, sure. I'm sure Andrew Berry was making calls today. I'm sure there were guys that he was looking to go after to target that the deals just either weren't available or they couldn't come to terms on them. I don't doubt that Andrew Berry was doing his job today and he was on the phone. I don't think that he was just sitting back and doing nothing. But it feels like this is the expectation for what the Browns were supposed to be at the deadline. I don't think that as many people as maybe wanted the Browns to be sellers, I don't think that you go through and look at the way that they operated and think that this team probably should have been sellers. Sure, if you were trying to tear this entire thing down to the studs and rebuild, that would make a lot of sense. But why on earth would you want to do that? Like, if you're Andrew Berry, it makes no sense today to go out and say, well, we should practically just move off of, you know, any of the veteran pieces that we have, get a ton of draft capital and try to build this thing back up. You're operating on the idea that you want to go through and you want to build this thing over a two-year period, right? You are trying to do more of a retool than a rebuild if you're Andrew Berry. This was very much in line with the retool, okay? Again, if there were pieces that you could have gotten that would have made sense, I'm sure they would have been happy to make moves like that. But, okay, yeah, you move off of Joe Tryon Choyinka. Okay, thank you for the 6th-round pick. I'll trade him in a 7th to move up. Yeah, felt pretty good. Like, I was not mad by that deal at all today. Joe hadn't played a ton, was not very impactful on defense, was not in there for a large amount, like, not crucial snaps. He can move off the defensive end. He can have a sixth-round pick instead of a seventh. Maybe, you know, when the draft actually comes around, Barry's able to make a trade. Or when the offseason rolls around, Barry's able to make a trade with one of those pieces. I don't know. But this feels like exactly what I expected it to be. You don't want to get rid of guys like Njoku, because Njoku can help you over the next 2 years. You don't want to get rid of guys like Wyatt Teller, because, hell, you might re-sign Wyatt Teller. That might be a guy that you want to have on the roster after this. It all makes sense on why the Browns don't want to be sellers. Everything they did today lined up with what they've been telling us, other than the direct quote of buyers that Adam Schefter and everyone had reported on for the Browns. It was a message that you were never going to be sellers. Although, if you were going to be sellers today, talk about a seller's market. Like, Myles Garrett probably could have, you want King's Ransom? You probably could have gotten King's Ransom today for Myles Garrett. Like, I mean, bare minimum, 3 first-round picks. I guarantee you somebody would offer 3. If Sauce Gardner gets 2, Myles Garrett can certainly get 3. Like, I mean, that's bottom line. So, like, if you wanted to rebuild this thing and you're Andrew Berry and you had the leeway to do so, it would have been a great day to do it. I think that when you ink him to the contract and you go through these type of things, like, these are why the moves don't get done. Andrew Berry, if you trade Myles Garrett, I'm not saying if you trade David Njoku necessarily, but certainly the magnitude of Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, those type of things of being a seller, you might as well just kiss your job goodbye. Like, you are not going to be the GM of the Cleveland Browns if you make a move like that. You're setting this team back. You're sending this team into a rebuild when the constant messaging has been that the Browns want to do anything but that. I imagine there were other things, and actually Albert Breer of the MMQB on today, as he is every single Tuesday with Afternoon Drive, and talked about the Browns' lack of moves and some of the guys that maybe were on the table.
I don't think they wanted to pull the plug on this season. You know what I mean? Like, and so, like, they were listening, for example, on David Njoku. Obviously, Joe Tryon gets traded. You know, I just think that there were some moving parts here where, you know, you want to evaluate the rest of your roster, and, you know, it gives you the best opportunity to do that is to have the best players you can out there on the field, you know. And so they want to get an evaluation of the young quarterback, which is why they weren't going to just give David Njoku away. You know, like, I think that they want to look at some of the young defensive players, and it's easier to do that when you've got, you know, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and now Tyson Campbell out there. We'll see where their evaluations are on those things. I would argue, again, that, like, even if it's like a little nuance, like, the fact that Miles would be 30 after the season, he's 29 now, could have a psychological effect on the way other teams view him too. And I think if you traded him now based on what some of these other guys went for, I don't think it's out of line to say maybe they could have gotten 3 first-round picks.
So you have the confirmation from Albert Breer. Like, 3 first was probably on the table for Miles. I imagine that a lot of people, the way that this season was going, might have been okay with that type of trade of just going, yeah, sure, give me 3 first-round picks. Again, you're not going to recoup the Miles value. I mean, 3 certainly gets you a lot closer to 2 of recreating Myles Garrett in the aggregate, but the likelihood that you actually get Myles Garrett 2.0 is incredibly low. Again, these are the signs of a team that is looking to compete near in the future. It is not the signs of a team that's looking to blow things up, and I don't think it was signs of a team who's desperately trying to grasp at straws and make it work just in this year. Like, those are the type of moves. If you go out and you would have traded for Jacoby Myers, it's like, okay, what are we actually trying to do here, right? Like, are you going to re-sign Jacoby Myers? He's going to be a key piece of this roster, because he would have been basically wide receiver 3. Probably would have been behind Jerry Jeudy, maybe above Jerry Jeudy. And it's like, okay, now I have 2 non-elite wide receivers. Thank you very much. Like, I need the elite wide receiver if I'm going to pay him. There weren't just moves that were made today that I'm scratching my head and being like, why aren't the Browns making that type of trade? It felt like an NFL trade deadline today. It felt like everything I expected it to be. I mean, the fact that I saw the report, and I think it was actually Adam Schefter who put it out as well, that said this was the 3rd most active NFL trade deadline since 1990 in the amount of trades that we got. The only years that were higher, I believe, were last year, which there were 8 moves, in 2022, in which there were 10. But this year came in 3rd. Like, the NFL trade deadline is, for almost everything, a sham. Like, we talk about it like there's massive deals that are going to be made, and, you know, props to the NFL this year, there were massive deals. I mean, the fact that you're moving on from guys like, you know, Quinnen Williams, and the fact that you're moving on from Sauce Gardner if you're the Jets, like, those are big type of deals. Obviously, massive draft capital being thrown around. But you look around the league, and outside of the Jets being the team that were, you know, the one team that was selling, the NFL trade deadline tends to be a dud, and for most teams it is. And it's not any different for the Browns. I just don't know what the expectation was going to be if it wasn't this. Like, again, sure, they took calls on David Njoku, as I would have expected them to. You have multiple tight end needy teams, you take calls on it, but you're just not looking to blow this thing up, and you're not looking to make drastic adds or subtractions to this team. You are trying to rebuild it back. And I think that's where you see Andrew Berry pull the trigger on a very small deal that gets you from a 7th to a 6. You know, Berry loves to acquire his late round picks. Okay, I can use him in a trade later. Or, you know, you see them go up into the 5th to draft Shador. It's a 6-round pick that's able to get that done. Right? You have to trade your 5th and a 6th to make that move up. Okay, well, these are now the type of things Andrew Berry has available to him. And it all the operation all looks like, okay, Berry is once again operating as if his job is safe. He's not making drastic moves. He's not thinking that the team needs to make drastic improvements this year in order for him to keep his job. And for a lot of reasons, I really don't think he does. Like, we are in the exact spot that I think the Browns, I don't know about exactly expected to be, but you're 2-6. The expectations were set probably really close to that. You're trying to be better over these next few games, but there's a lot of places where you need to get better and you need to improve. You weren't just going to do it by making desperate moves. You weren't going to do it by trying to blow this thing up and say, just give me draft capital and I'll rebuild it all through the draft. The Browns are attempting to tow a tightrope that is not very easy to tow. And I think that all but gets so much harder when you play the Jets this week. All of that is going to be just amplified in everything that you do in what might very well be a lose-lose situation for the Browns this week. It's just exact what you needed to go through and do. It's exactly what you needed to do. Okay, if you can't add the big piece, you don't add a piece at all. 216-474-0092. Are you surprised by the Browns' lack of movement at the trade deadline? We're going to get to your guys' calls on this. You can also get to be on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. I mentioned this is a game that feels like it has a lot of pressure with the Jets. We're going to get into that coming up here in about 5 minutes. We have the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk Cavs in the 8 o'clock hour. It's going to be a Browns-loaded show. We are going to talk some Cavs. Ethan Sands of Cleveland.com going to be joining us at 8 o'clock. Daryl Ryder, he joins us every single Tuesday, going to be joining us tonight at 9:20. We have Get a Grip at 9, as always. Plenty of Browns talk, and as well, it is a Blind Tier Tuesday, so we'll get to that with Michael in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are you surprised by the Browns' lack of movement at the trade deadline? For a lot of reasons, like, I get it if you were buying into everything that the Browns said, or you said, hey, we're going to be buyers at the deadline. Or if you were just thinking that they were lying to you and doing the exact opposite. But I think when you really sit down, this was the expectation today. Again, 216-474-0092. Your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with you guys here until 11 on The Fan. I don't know what you were looking for today if you're surprised. The Browns can come out and say whatever they want. They can tell me they're going to be buyers. They can tell me that there's a major trade plan just out there. Not going to believe it. I am kind of confused by the Mike Hall Jr. stuff. Anybody else say, like, I was expecting something? I mean, was it really Joe Tryonchenka? Is that really what you were tweeting trade about? I would have figured at least maybe you were involved in the trade. I mean, listen, maybe there was something. Maybe Jerry was calling about the idea of it because they did go out and get another defensive tackle. That was something. And the rumor was that if he was going anywhere, he was going to the Cowboys. But tweet it and then delete it. And nothing to come of it. Feels kind of lame. I feel like I was waiting for something on the side of the Browns after that. Even if it was a minor deal. I don't think you get to tweet that out and be like, oh, yeah, it's Joe Tryonchenka. Yeah, he's played a handful of snaps this year. Okay, you see him maybe once or twice every game. And where you actually pick him out and you're like, oh, he's on the field. And that's about it. Yeah, just kind of lame out of my call. But again, 216-474-0092. Are you surprised by the Browns' lack of movement at the deadline? Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
No, I'm not surprised at all, man. Practical and efficient are the words that come to mind as it applies to their behavior on the last day of trading. Practical and efficient. And the Jets just made it easier for them to get their next win. So that's going to work out. The Browns couldn't really do much else but ride it out at this point, man. And I was concerned. Tell me if you were too. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe they might trade 4, and I was like, I hope they don't do that. Were you thinking about that?
I mean, I thought it was on the table, but I didn't really think it, the amount of the, I guess the lack of work that Dylan Sampson has gotten kind of took it off the table for me. Plus, I don't really know what you're getting for Jerome Ford at this point. Like the rumors that were thrown out for Breece Hall, because obviously he wanted to be moved today from the Jets, was like somebody offered them a fourth round pick. So if you're trading Jerome Ford, it's for like a sixth or a seventh.
I like the way the defensive line is playing, but they needed to keep them intact. Although Miles is great, Miles' greatness this year has been heavily supplied by his supporting cast helping him, particularly Alex Wright. You got to watch that other side. You know, you can't just you can't just double up on Miles and think Wright ain't coming for you. And I'm looking to see that linebacking core look pretty good next year when when he comes back, and I anticipate they're going to get another linebacker. So I repeat, an exit, practical and efficient behavior, just go ahead and ride it out. The Jets at least made it easier for you to get your next win.
All right, Todd, I appreciate it as always.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I don't know that I really – honestly, like, I thought a couple of more guys were going to be on the table, but, like, these small-type moves. Like, he mentions Alex Wright, who I've been – I mean, very pleased with this year. Like, he has been better than you could have possibly expected. I mean, a lot of us, I think, expected Isaiah McGuire to be the guy really rushing opposite of Miles more often than not. And it's clearly been Alex Wright. I mean, he's taken over that job entirely. I thought he was on the table because maybe you get inflated value for him at this point. And clearly there was an end on the table. That room was loaded. I don't know. There's just... there wasn't much fear anywhere. Like, I thought Shelby Harris could have gone, obviously, because he's a vet on a one-year deal. Those are the type of moves that I thought were going to happen, where it's like, okay, they claim that they're buyers, they sell off a couple of pieces, but pieces that make sense. It was honestly, if anything, it was slightly more dead than I expected. Like, I expected them to make more small-level moves.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
But if you weren't going to make moves again, it wasn't going to be the thing that shocked me. But the NFL trade deadline as a whole, like I said, definitely surprised me. Because Todd points out, like, they make it easier for you to get a win this week, and they absolutely do. I mean, if Jets defense has not been good, but they clearly had a couple of good players. You just poach those. Like, those are gone. You now don't have to plan for the two best players on the defensive side of the ball for the Jets. And you kind of look around and it's like, okay, well, I don't know that I look at this and say they just made it easier. I think there's a lot more pressure on the Browns to win this week. Like, if you go out there and you play the Jets and you lose, there was already a feeling for me that if you played the Jets and you lose to the Jets, I mean, what are we doing here, right? Like, I get that the offense is bad, but as good as the defense has been, you should at least be able to be competent against that team and just look like things are going to be fine. They weren't able to do that for a majority of it. It's just like you have way more pressure to actually go out there and win this game now. You cannot go out there and lose to the team who still has not named a starting quarterback, who has a very frustrated running back. The offense was already atrocious. The defense is now, I mean, in shambles compared to what they were. We are on a zero excuse level for the Browns on Sunday. And in a lot of ways, I think for a lot of people thinking the other way too, like the Jets are clearly going for a high draft pick, could very well be using that draft pick on a quarterback, and I would expect them to. I think there's a lot of people who would say you can't lose this week, and winning also doesn't do you any favors, right? Like, you're only hurting your own draft stock at that point. Clearly, you can't go out and just win two games this year. That's not going to be acceptable. So I'm not sitting here actively rooting for the Browns to lose any more games. I would obviously appreciate if they just went out there and won. I mean, I like a solid draft pick as much as the next guy, but like, I get it. But there's going to be frustration either way. The Jets really didn't help that. Like, it existed, but they pressure almost just amplified from where it originally stood on that point. Like, now you really can't lose to the Jets and you're still not helping draft position if it happens. Yeah, thanks a lot. Like, now if you want pressure on Dylan Gabriel, truthfully, if Dylan Gabriel can't look good this week, Dylan Gabriel never looks good. Like, I really don't have anything. It already felt that way for me. Now it is, I mean, just stamped fully. You have 2 weeks to repair off the bye. You're going up against a defense that literally just gutted itself. It's one of the worst teams, if not just actively, I mean, obviously by record they are, but truthfully, the worst team in the NFL very well could be. If you can't beat this team, if you can't look good against this team, I mean, you might as well just stamp it and be done. I understand the Browns probably won't do that, and they'd still somehow give them another week. Like, there is just no reasoning behind it. This is the week where you're supposed to have your best week as a starter, which right now probably is his first start in London. Yeah, you got to top that, and I think you have to top that in a major way. There is just a severe lack of talent anywhere else on that team that if you don't do it, I mean, I just don't know when that moment would ever come for you. I don't know when you're ever going to look good enough to be a true NFL starter, a guy that you can put on your back. It pressures up this week for sure. Again, 216-474-0092, talking about the lack of moves for the Browns. Let's go back out to the phones. James is in East Cleveland. What's going on, James?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. Listen, I'm not surprised at all by what the Browns are doing. The Browns, they went to bed. And the whole way, it goes back to the Deshaun Watson move. I don't think Stefanski is on the high seat. I don't think Barry's on the high seat. I think collectively Haslam, Barry, and Stefanski put all their chips on the table, which was the right move at the time. Hindsight is 2020. People want to go back and go over revisionist history and say, hey, Watson was a move. Bad move, but at the time, everybody in the league wanted the guy. Baker was coming off thinking like a 2013 season. It just made sense to do it. Now, Watson didn't live up to expectations. That's going to set your franchise back for years and years and years. And that's what we're going through. We got to work through it. I don't think they're going to throw each other under the bus, even though you have seen some finger pointing and some dysfunction within the group. I also get losing the locker room. But, man, this is what they signed up for. Everybody knew coming into it this season was going to be bad. Now that we're seeing it play out as bad as it is, no receivers. Who's going to catch the ball? Shooty, he led the league in drops last year. He on pace to break that. We have no receivers, no man. It's just all bad from the top to bottom. He just messed up with Watson, and we paying for it, man. We paying for it, brother.
There's no doubt about it, James. I appreciate the call. I mean – in a lot of ways, I don't know that everyone expected it to be as bad. I mean, and I only say that because we had a lot of people come on here and we had people project out 9 wins for the Browns. Now, wasn't somebody who was that ambitious. I think I gave you an ambitious 7 throughout most of it, probably closer to 6. But, like, still kind of on pace for that. You might fall a little bit short of it, but you're still in that ballpark range. I do think, though, like, if you evaluate this team for what they've been through 8 games, This is kind of what you expect at the deadline from a team like this, especially when you consider everything they've done up to this moment. Again, if you're going to go out there and you're going to re-sign Miles, you're telling me that you're not blowing this thing up and you're not rebuilding. Unless you're going to pull the Jets, unless you're going to, you know, sign Sauce Gardner to a deal and then 3 months later be like, well, that was fun. That was a good time. How about he's an Indianapolis Colt now? It just doesn't make any sense because there's a really good chance that, I don't know, Aaron Glenn doesn't have his job. Basically, anybody in the Jets organization doesn't have a job after this year. I just don't know. I lean closer to James, or it feels like a lot more. At the very least, Andrew Berry is safe. He's operating as such. Let's go back out to the phones. BP is in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. You know, I am disappointed, of course, with what the Browns didn't do today. I was hoping they were going to get an Ohio State wide receiver, either Chris Olave or most preferably Garrett Wilson from the fire sale that's going on over in New York. I mean, we really need wide receivers like you were just talking about. Those guys would have jumpstart, you know, at least our receiver room. I mean, going into the season, I said all along, we didn't have enough wide receiver talent. In fact, this whole roster is lacking in talent. I mean, if you really look at the NFL, why are the teams so bad? Like the Dolphins, the Browns, the Titans, it's the roster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the Browns just don't have a talented roster. That's why they're ranked, you know, 30th in the ESPN rankings, the power rankings. But I am disappointed with what they did. You know, I thought the Jets are having a huge fire sale. Why didn't we go get Garrett Wilson? Like, I mean, they gave away half their defense, you know, Sauce Gardner and Williams. I thought they should have come away with Garrett Wilson today. What do you think of that? And then I'm actually glad they didn't get rid of, you know, like Wyatt Teller or Joel Bitonio or Miles Garrett, you know, especially the guys on the line. Of course, I want to see what Shedeur Sanders, when he finally gets his chance, what he can do with a decent line. So I'm all for like keeping the line intact. But so they did good on that part. I didn't want to see them get rid of, they easily could have gotten rid of Wyatt Teller or Bitonio if they wanted to. So, I know, and you're, like you said, this thing on Sunday, the game of the Jets, I looked it up. We're favored now by 2.5 points on the road. So that's pretty surprising that with our anemic offense, we're actually favored on the road against an NFL team. So, you know, that's almost going to be like the number one pick bowl. Like whoever loses that game is on their way to getting the number one pick in the draft. What do you think of some of those thoughts?
And BP, I appreciate it as always. I mean, I definitely think it leans that way. And by the way, I expect that line to probably grow even more as the week goes on. As more and more money, I'm sure, pours into the Browns on that line, I'm sure that number only grows. Like, wouldn't be surprised. And I think JP threw out like 5-point favorites, 4.5-point favorites. I mean, I think you'd get up to like 5.5. I think that's entirely doable, guys. It's Tuesday. Okay. Just depends how much money from the public pours in on the Browns. But I mean, I agree with you on the Teller stuff. Everything that I saw out of the Jets camp was that they weren't looking to move off of offensive pieces. Because in a lot of ways, they're built like the Browns were, at least before today, they were built like the Browns are, where you have a great defense, you have a lot of star-studded players on defense, but they're anemic on offense. Like, they don't have the stars on offense, and they want to keep the few good pieces that they have. I don't know why he didn't move off of Breece Hall. That didn't make a ton of sense to me. I mean, that feels like a pretty free, just let's get rid of the running back. I mean, it's one of the most replaceable positions in football. It's not like Breece Hall's been an absolute, you know, just elite running back in the NFL at this point. Thought they would have moved off him, but like clearly the thought process was let's get rid of defenders. And we got reports from today that, you know, they weren't really taking calls. There was no interest to trade Garrett Wilson. I was in the same boat. Like, if you could have went and made those trades, sure. I tweeted out earlier today, I would have loved to have Garrett Wilson. If it would have cost me 2 firsts, no. Like, I'm good. I don't need a – I'll go find a wide receiver wherever one of my picks are at. Like, if I use one of my first – you know, if I keep my 2 first-round picks and don't have to trade up to get a quarterback, which, you know, fingers crossed that works out. But, like, I don't know. By the place the Jags are picking, very well I could have, like, Carnell Tate. There's another Ohio State wide receiver for you that could be available. There will be a couple of more wide receivers available in this draft, which is certainly going to be better – probably then this year's draft class for was wide receivers, because here's a hint into it. This year's wide receiver class stinks. It is downright bad. It is Tet McMillan and everybody else. And even Tet hasn't looked like a superstar. He's looked fine. But like, I'm in the boat. If you can trade a first and a late round pick, if I have to give up more than that, then I'm out. Like, you do have the draft capital to rebuild this offense this year if you're able to make the correct selections. I have questions on whether Andrew Berry can do that or not, but I just don't see how, if that was the asking price, if you're Andrew Berry, you could actually go out and make that call. you could actually go out there and be willing to give up that much capital. So it'd be great to add those things. There just weren't tackles on the market, as there's commonly not. There weren't a ton of wide receivers, star wide receivers, like the Olaves, like the Garrett Wilsons, that teams are just willing to give up. And if that ends up being the case, I mean, you're not going to go out there and reach and try to make a move that just doesn't exist and try to patchwork it with somebody worse and give up the capital that could very well just be that guy in the first place. Again, it felt very typical to me. It felt like where I expected the Browns to be. But 216-474-0092, does a trade deadline put more pressure on the Browns to win on Sunday? You heard BP say it. Feels like it's the number one pick bowl. Also feels like if you lose, the Browns are going to be under more scrutiny than ever on just how bad this team looks and how desperately, I don't know, maybe Kevin Stefanski's job is on the line, and I'm sure it puts pressure on Andrew Berry. Again, 216-474-0092. Albert Breer saying something pressing as we get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. I will point out, too, in the last segment, I ripped on the rookie wide receiver class. Free Fries over on Twitter, crazy name, but throwing out there, good point, but you forgot about Emeka Egbuka. That's on me, hand in the air. Emeka's been awesome, okay? He's been incredible. Outside of Egbuka and Tet, the wide receiver class has been absolute stank, okay? They've been bad. Yes, Egbuka should be in that conversation. That one's on me. I slipped my mind, okay? I'll throw that out there, but without any further ado, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off. I was talking to you, pressure for the Browns to win on Sunday with the Jets. Albert Breer, the MMQB, on today with Afternoon Drive, talking about a little bit of a different kind of pressure the Jets might have put on the Browns with the deadline today.
There are a bunch of teams now that have, you know, multiple first-round picks in 2026, and what might be in November isn't necessarily going to be what it is in January, and we won't know until January whether or not the Colts pick is the 18th pick or the 28th pick. You know, we won't know whether the Jaguars pick is the 15th pick or the 25th pick. Like, that'll really determine the value of it, but definitely puts, you know, more teams in play, and look, like, I don't think we really know right now whether or not there's going to be a quarterback or two that everybody deems to have that level of value either. That's the other part that needs to play out. You know, where's the league after all this on Garrett Nussmeier? Where's the league on Lenore Sellers? Where's the league on, you know, a couple of the guys who emerged this fall, like Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore? Like, I just don't know the answer to that yet. There's a lot of moving parts, you know, so when you're dealing for picks at this time of year, you're really talking more conceptually than you are with a whole lot of concrete information on what you're going to be dealing with.
So I think it is interesting to look at this Jets move and think about whether or not it puts more pressure on. I think Albert took the right approach here. Like, we don't truthfully know what this is going to look like. For all we know, the Browns could end up with the number one pick and this doesn't matter. And they have their free pick at quarterback with the number one overall pick, right? Like, could happen. Do I think it's going to happen? No, probably not, because the Jets are a dumpster fire. Like, the Jets might as well just have that pick of their own, you know, variety anyway. They can just go through and make that selection. I think if you look at both these teams and somehow they both rattle off a handful of wins, neither of them ends up with the number one pick, then yes, this is an impactful move. This is something that does impact the Browns to say, okay, if the Jets end up with a better pick and can offer you first rounders,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I mean, I don't know how much better the Colts are going to be than the Jags. Both of those teams look like they've been a lot better than expected. I don't know if both of those teams don't regress at this point in the year. Certainly both of them trying to add at the deadline. Jacoby Myers is a Jacksonville Jaguar. Obviously, Sauce Gardner, now an Indianapolis Colt. Like, you just don't know where these teams end up finishing. But I think there is a scenario, certainly, that we play out where if the Browns are trying to trade up for a quarterback, and even if they're not, having those guys in those spots, I mean, you could end up with the Colts over the Jags and the Jets over the Browns. You could be forced into either having to look to trade up to get the quarterback you want, or just flat out not having the opportunity to draft that guy because the Jets are going to be above you. Like, it just plays out in a different way that there is pressure on. The more teams that acquire first-round picks, the less capital the Browns have, the less advantage the Browns have to just go out there and play the market the way they want it in order to go get their quarterback. So if that ends up being the route that the Browns take, if they are trying to draft a quarterback in the first round, as is expectation, the Jets making moves today, they adding picks not only in this year's draft class upcoming, but also now with three first-round picks in the 2027 class that they can also use as capital to move up. They have the advantage on you if they need to do it, more likely than not. So it's definitely going to be something that is going to play time here in April, and the Browns are going to have to keep their eye on, no doubt about it. All right, Lance Reisland of Cleveland.com also on today with Afternoon Drive. He was talking about the deadline and thinks it's a good thing the Browns didn't sell.
Well, if it tells you they're still planning on winning, which I think is important because culture is an often overused word, and the word tank to me is the most disgusting word in sports, because if you're tanking, that's what culture is. It's not what you say, it's what you do. So for me, as a coach, I'm thinking of it as in a positive light. We got our players. We have to get these guys to understand, and we have to get these guys to execute better, because we've seen some of these guys up front do it. We've seen some of these tight ends do it. They just have not done it at a high level, and that's kind of the challenge moving forward, Daryl. But I think it's a good thing. I really do. I know people like to tank, and I know people, and I understand that view of it as well. But as a coach, I'm thinking, all right, these guys are all back in the building. Let's go try to win some football games.
Which ultimately, I mean, if we're talking about a disconnect between Barry and Stefanski, are they on the same page? Yeah, Barry didn't give you any more talent to work with here, but he also didn't just completely scrap your team, right? Like, he didn't take away playmakers that are actually going to help this offense get on track if it's going to happen. I mean, listen, the last thing I wanted this team to do, truthfully, was sell at the deadline. Like, if you would have went through and extended Miles and tried to sell this year as you're trying to compete just to end up blowing it up anyway, I mean, what if made the last year of feeling on the Browns just be useless? It's like, okay, well, if you're going to rebuild, you probably should have just rebuilt off the rip. Like, you probably should have tore this thing down to the studs when we had the chance, when you weren't paying guys more money, when you had more opportunity and, you know, more contract leeway for a lot of guys like Denzel Ward, like Grant Delpit, where you can sell that the entire year of their contract to make these moves in the moment. You just don't need to do that. This is not a team that should be selling. And quite frankly, I know a lot of people are going to focus on this and be like, oh, if you beat the Jets, the draft position gets worse. It shouldn't be the focus right now for the Browns. You're trying to get back to a spot where you're competitive. You should be actively trying to win football games, even if it is the thing that ends up being worse for you. I get if a fan wants to sit here and wants to root for the Browns to be bad inside that building, there should be no thought process about, well, hopefully this team just stinks and they continue to lose games. You draft what's available to you. If you have to try to make moves to trade up, you make moves to trade up. You do what you have to do to get that pick. But right now, you should be evaluating the players in there and trying to put together a winning culture, something that has not been there for the Browns. I mean, even if you talk about going to the playoffs, you know, twice in the last 5 years, not enough. That's not enough to build a culture. You have to do more than that. And quite frankly, you have to start right now. And that's if you're both Barry and Stefanski. All right, Jason Lloyd of The Athletic on with Ken and Anthony this morning, talking about Dylan Gabriel. Are the Browns finished? And it's kind of looked worse as he's gone on.
I tend to say no, but I do think Shador is going to play at some point. I don't know that we're there yet. I just don't think that we are. I think that they're going to keep running Dylan out there, barring injury or total collapse and catastrophe. I mean, yeah, obviously it hasn't. You know, I thought his best game was his first game. But what he's done since, you know, I just think that he's regressed, not progressed in the weeks that followed. But it's still only a handful of games, and I think that they're going to keep running him out there.
Yeah, this is a kind of thing that, like, I definitely think Dylan's regressed. Like, all the statistics will tell you that he's gotten worse of every game that he's played. I know that just by watching it, by the way they talk about Dylan, that he's going to have a leeway. I really don't know how, especially after this week, if it doesn't look good, you have to be finished with Dylan Gabriel. Like, there's going to be no selling point that it continues. But quite frankly, like, if you want to take this as a positive spin for Dylan Gabriel, go look at the defenses he's played against. Like, Minnesota is not a pushover defense. Last year, they led the league in takeaways. They're still a very solid defense this year. You go through and you play a team like the Steelers. Yes, the defense has been bad, and he certainly stunk against them. Also, a takeover or a takeaway heavy team. And, I mean, even last week, before the bye, not an easy game either defensively. Like, you're still not going to have it. And you had Miami. I mean, Miami was obviously a good game, but the Patriots, we're going to be a struggle. You have another opportunity to play a bad defense. Okay, you played Miami. You didn't play bad in that game. Now, again, is your chance to step up. Like, here is the runway for Dylan. Here is everything that you have available to you. Look good. Like, you got an easy team under your belt where you did enough to win. Doing enough to win is kind of not enough for me at this point. Like, I'm looking for a franchise quarterback. Go show me you can be a franchise quarterback, or I'm going to try to go find a guy that can. Like, that's the bottom line. I drafted you in the third round. If you're a backup to me, still a win. I don't need you to be the franchise guy, but at the same time, I drafted you in the third round. I don't need to give you 100 games to play. This is where some of my confusion comes in. With Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps, talking about Gabriel's runway and potential of Shador starting when the Browns want it.
It should be easier for Dylan Gabriel to have some success against teams that are not as fearsome as some of the ones they've played so far, although the Ravens seem to have gotten their act together, and we'll have to see. I mean, I don't think that the Browns necessarily want to be in a position where they're having to start Shador Sanders for 7 games. What if it doesn't work out? Then where do you go from there? So I think they want to give Dylan a longer on-ramp, but he's got to, you know, prove that he deserves it as well.
Yeah, so that's a big thing for me, is that Dylan hasn't proven to me that he deserves the longer runway, the longer on-ramp that Mary Kay's talking about. Again, okay, then go out and prove it to me. Go out and tell me that you actually deserve it and that you've earned the spot. And I also just don't understand, like, the Browns not wanting to start Shador for 7 games. Because the answer to the question of where you go from there feels pretty simple. If Shador stinks and you have 7 games to play, your options are continue to stink with Shador, which you've already done all year long, so what's the difference? Or, hey, Bailey Zappi, would you like to go in and stink for us? Like, I don't understand what the change is. If you're going from, Dylan's okay in putting us in positions to win football games, to maybe Shador just stinks and it really takes this offense down a different route, I get it. Give Dylan a longer on-ramp if things are working and the game looked competitive. They haven't looked competitive. So it's like I'm going from bad to bad. I just don't see where the massive negative for the Browns comes in there. I don't understand why you wouldn't want Shador to necessarily start 7 games either. You tell me you don't want him to start 10. Yeah, that's a majority of your season. Like, I don't think anybody, there's a lot of people who wants to see Shador probably start 10 games. But if it looks bad, you certainly wouldn't want to have that in front of you. 7 games is not that many. 6 games is not that many. You go through a bad stretch of the season. It's exactly what we're going through right now with Dylan. If it looks bad, then it looks bad. So be it. You just ride it out, or you go to Bailey Zappi and you go, okay, we drafted 2 quarterbacks. They both weren't good. Back to the drawing board. Again, Shador should present the opportunity or the idea that there's actually something there, right? A higher potential. So if he thinks, at least I know I'm shooting for something. I don't know what I'm shooting for at this point with Dylan Gabriel. I'm shooting for mediocrity. I'm like, can you just be a normal quarterback? Can you be like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL? Because right now, that would be a substantial win for the Browns. And honestly, if Shador was the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, in a lot of ways, would probably be a substantial win for the Browns. At the very least, you could walk away and trade him. Like, I just don't see why they would want a shorter runway, a shorter leash for Shador if Dylan's not doing well. Again, good play for Dylan changes that conversation. Really just haven't seen it yet. All right, last one here. John Greco, obviously former Browns offensive lineman, on with Ken and Anthony this morning, talking about the play calling change for Kevin Stefanski and the impact it has on the locker room.
First of all, it's never the result of a good thing. There's a reason why they're doing it. It's desperation. It's something that's going haywire. It's an attempt to, you know, right the ship and turn things around. And that's where they're at. And, you know, we don't know whose decision that was. You know, I was a little surprised, but obviously something needed done. But yeah, when you're in those rooms and that happens, you're just kind of like, oh God, you know, the obvious is becoming a reality, and you have kind of a heightened sense of awareness. Like, okay, this is the next attempt at before people start getting fired or, you know, a bigger change has happened.
Yeah, I feel like the one thing that was talked about, and obviously I was on with JP yesterday on Afternoon Drive, like we talked about all the different avenues for Stefanski's. We'll get into a couple of them here later on in the show as well. Like, this isn't a sell that you can make to the players that just goes blindly either. Like, we talk about a team and a coach trying to keep his locker room. I think when you make the play calling change, like, everybody feels the magnitude of that move in the room as well. Like, it's not just, doesn't really matter if it's, you know, Tommy Rees calling the plays or if it's Kevin Stefanski. They realize that things are going poorly. Hey, thanks for trying to make a change, but I also know this is bad and this is what Kevin does well, and they're clearly trying to make a move out of desperation like John talked about. You're trying to do anything. Players are hyper aware of that. Players know that this is not a good move for the team. Doesn't work with Tommy either. You talk about losing the locker room rather quickly in my eyes. Like, you talk about, hey, if nobody can get this thing on track, I don't know how you go back to a belief of Kevin Stefanski's offense and Kevin Stefanski's scheme and just act like it's going to work. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. Again, coming up later in the show, back half of the 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking about Kevin Stefanski and the play calling change. But coming up here in 5 minutes, the Cavs and Evan Mobley's just disappointing start, quite frankly, overall. We get into it with Ethan Sands of Cleveland.com right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. I'm a fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.